Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here. Another episode, the first one in a long time, of Beers with Chad. While I'm stuck at home like everyone else, I figured I'd give some of my book, television, podcast recommendations for Corona Mania. Talking about Tiger King, as well as a little bit more coaching insight that I derived from reading Bruce Lee, A Life. Make sure you check out the limited equipment training template free ebook through the link in the Juggernaut Training Instagram profile or at jtsstrength.com and find all of Juggernaut apparel, online coaching, AI coaching, ebooks, all that good stuff at jtsstrength.com. You can use the code BRAINGAINS with a Z for 25% off any ebook because I figure while your gym is closed, at least you can read about some training and learn a little bit more. Thanks for listening. Probably see you pretty soon because I think we're going to be stuck here for a while.
Welcome to Beers with Chad.
Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith back for the first time in a long time. Beers with Chad. So today I have the Stone Enjoy by 420 IPA from Stone Brewing. A nice 9.4% double, because who doesn't need a 9.4% double IPA at 4 p.m. on a Wednesday? Giving you my permanent, or hopefully not permanent, but at least for the time being, thumbs up. I had a thumb surgery last Monday, for a ruptured tendon that attached right at the top of my thumb. So basically that thumb was just stuck like this. I could flex, but I could not extend. So I unfortunately could not give anyone thumbs up. So that was, disappointing for everyone who was hoping for that for me. Besides that, I've just been kind of doing it the way that everyone else is. So, sorry. Cheers. That's pretty good. Not my favorite. And you can only get it for like a month more, so I wouldn't worry about it too much, but it's pretty good. Otherwise just pretty much been doing what everyone else has been doing, being stuck in the house. Fortunately for me, I work from home anyways. If I could really train, I would be training in my garage gym. So not a ton of life changes for me because of the shelter-in-place self-quarantine. I kind of stay home a lot anyways, so not a huge difference, but tough, kind of limited to go see my family who live about 30, 40 minutes south of me, my dad who's not in great health. So that's been a tough deal to sort of have to resist going to see them as much. I've still seen them a couple of times, but just not as much as I typically would. And, business-wise, it's been a little bit tough with people everyone's gyms closing, not a lot of people looking to buy online coaching when their gym is closed, but, we'll survive. I'm fortunate to be in a better place than a lot of, actual physical gym operator in this kind of strange time. Speaking of those strange times, without a thumb and this finger, this pinky is, I think even more fucked up than my thumb was. This was the week, so I hurt the thumb in a match with Nsema, the Flow Grappling, who's number one, on probably the first grip exchange. And it sounded like my thumb, probably hit his chest like that, and he was so rock hard and muscly, it just bent my thumb straight down and popped the tendon off there. It didn't hurt or anything. It didn't, affect the outcome of the match at all. I just remember in one of the first resets looking at my hand and being like, Is my thumb straight? Is it bent? Am I trying to straighten it? I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. Where this one, the pinky was the week previous to that, and I had a pants grip on someone, and they, you know, they kicked their leg to try and break the pants grip, and yeah, dislocated both joints of the pinky and ruptured a tendon in there, but they said no surgery on that one. But yeah, I guess a good time to get surgery since jiu-jitsu school is closed right now anyway, so I wouldn't really have been training regardless. So yeah, back to the typing though that I was doing with my busted up hands. Made a 24 page free ebook for you called The Limited Training Template. So yeah, after polling the Juggernaut AI users between home gym users, which we had a ton of, that was kind of surprising and awesome to see. There was like 150 people who replied to it that had their own home gyms. It seemed like the most in need group was the limited equipment users. I'd already put out a little bodyweight stuff. Everyone's putting out bodyweight stuff. But, you know, as soon as you introduce a piece of equipment like a kettlebell or a pair of dumbbells, a couple bands here and there, it really expands the possibilities of your training. So wrote up that limited training template and did that in an effort, rather than just saying, hey, here's a workout to do for the next however many weeks. I'm not even going to try and speculate right now. Rather, I figured I'd educate you about, you know, different things that you could do, because as soon as you introduce one more piece of equipment or one like extra ability, like you could do a handstand push-up and someone else can't, well, then the whole program can change. So wrote that up. You can download that for free at jtsstrength.com. Go through the link in my profile, the link in the Juggernaut training profile, and it will equip you with a lot of ideas about how to train for these next several weeks. Beyond that, just been, you know, binging an absurd amount of television, reading with my ears, audiobooks, watching lots of movies, creating, you know, working on lots of content so we can kind of hit the ground running when everything is back to normal-ish. So yeah, be on the lookout for a lot of new content from us in regards there. So as far as book recommendations, that's the kind of the first thing I'm going to talk about. But first, let's talk about television recommendations. The first thing that I was binging was an old one, which was Nip Tuck. Nip Tuck is part of FX, which is now on Hulu. If you have not watched Nip Tuck before, I'd watch the whole thing when it was on TV, and it was a magical, insane ride to binge it once again. It is one of the most outrageous, weird shows with the wildest storylines possible. So if you need six seasons, you know, I'd really say seasons 1 through 3 are amazing. 4, pretty good. 5 and 6, it's just going off the rails to the point of, you know, one of the characters becomes a mime after he is, you know, a meth head married to a porn star who was previously engaged to his biological father, who they didn't find out was his biological father until is the best friend of his father who raised him. It's, if someone tried to create a Venn diagram of all the people on Nip Tuck who banged each other and all the shit that happened, it would be just an impossible web. Now, as crazy as the stuff on Nip Tuck was, and as insane as the writers were, and I feel like the writers and actors from that show must have had PTSD by the time they were done with it. It was as crazy as the writers on there were, they are not crazy enough to create the character of Joe Exotic. Yes, I am referring to the Tiger King, the little docuseries on Netflix, which included the most batshit, insane, depraved, deranged fucking cast of characters humanly possible. So if you haven't seen it, I don't know that there's really spoiler alerts that need to be given here. I already spoiled several parts of Nip Tuck, but it's been off the air for like 10 years, so you can deal with it. Joe Exotic is a gay, polygamist, country singing, mullet having, big cat zoo proprietor, gubernatorial candidate, many, many things that he does. And it's just crazy. I mean, Joe Exotic, which would be a phenomenal male stripper name. If times really get hard here from the coronavirus and I have to open up a fans only page, expect it to be called Chad Exotic. So be on the lookout for that, or juggerbear.com. That's TM. Do not try and steal juggerbear.com. That's my retirement plan. But Joe Exotic is nuts. Carol Baskin definitely killed her husband. Definitely a huge bitch. Really weird that she's allergic to cats, especially considering how much, cat fetish sex her and her very emasculated husband definitely have, and how much, cat fur and stuff is probably involved in that. So I guess, she's a real sucker for punishment in that regard. And the other guy, Bhagavad Doc, whatever, he needs his own, a full documentary about that guy, because he's clearly running some sort of, Bikram Chowdhury-type tiger yoga sex cult. Like, everyone who worked for him was, started working for him when they were 17, 18. He was banging them all. That guy needs an investigative docuseries on him as well. But there wasn't a single person. I mean, Joe Exotic's, four-toothed, not gay, but ex-husband, Oklahoma meth head guy, everyone was just insane and awful. The dude who comes and takes over the zoo, who owned every Ed Hardy and Affliction item of clothing possible, how are these people, how do they exist? That fucking Chucky doll looking guy who dimed everyone out to the FBI. To put Tiger King in powerlifting terms, if the characters of Tiger King competed in powerlifting, they would all do multiply bench only. And if you understand the implications of that, as far as their character goes, kudos to you. If you don't understand it, I'm sorry. But if you do understand it, you know what I really think about the characters of Tiger King. But it was amazing. Watched all 7 episodes right in a row, and I have no shame. I have no shame in that. Otherwise, books. I've been listening to some business books, Good to Great. Listening to one called The End of Marketing right now. But right before that, I had listened to Bruce Lee, A Life, which is a autobiography. I think is if the person writes it themselves. So a biography of Bruce Lee, which was definitely an interesting read. And listening to his approach on, to martial arts and creating, people will call him the godfather of MMA because he was, taking what was useful, rejecting what wasn't. That was a really cool thing to listen to. And it made me think too about my own journey as a coach. These past several, since January 1st, I've been working in NFL Combine prep with a great coach named Les Spellman, was our speed coach, and our quarterback coach, Jordan Palmer. We had 8 athletes go to the NFL Combine, including Joe Burrow. You may have heard of him. So that was a lot of fun. And that kind of got me thinking even more about my development as a coach, because I was exposed to more people from the sport performance world, and that is my background. That's what Juggernaut began as back in 2009, was sport performance coaching, not powerlifting. I didn't do powerlifting then. Even once I started doing powerlifting, we were not a powerlifting gym or a powerlifting company. But a lot of the people who meet me now, they're like, oh, you're a powerlifter. How did this powerlifting guy get involved, doing sport performance coaching? But the reality of it is that I had, have a pretty varied background, and to the Bruce Lee point of I'm butchering the quote, but to take what is useful and reject what is not, I've really been able to apply that for myself
in my own coaching journey, and something that I would really encourage you to do. You know, growing up, I did track and field, played football as well, but track and field from the time I was 8 years old until I was 23. And for the overwhelming majority of my lifting career, have written my own programs, including in high school. So when I was 14, 15 years old, trying to figure out what I should do, I was scouring a much less abundant amount of information on the internet, as well as talking to a lot of coaches, two coaches in particular, Tony Chiarelli, who was then at Huntington Beach, but now at Newport Harbor High School, a legend in the throws coaching community at any level, as well as the weightlifting community, particularly here in Southern California, and Bill Pendleton at Esperanza High School. You know, they weren't my coaches, but my coach didn't write my lifting. He just kind of coached me in the ring, and he couldn't be at the meets because he coached at a college. So I'd be at these track meets on my own, and I would just sort of latch on to Coach Chiarelli and Coach Pendleton and ask them questions about training, probably till they were sick of it, and continued that type of thing as I got recruited to colleges, as I you know, would meet college coaches at higher level, like junior national type of meets, or really any opportunity I had to get as much information from them as I can. So that was the first part of my learning, was, you know, trial and error, of course, in my own training. And then, you know, talking to these throws coaches, sprint coaches, football strength coaches. I started coaching high school football when I was 19 years old and was going to, you know, different conferences, AFCA, American Football Coaches Association conferences, going to all the strength and conditioning presentations there, you know, stalking the presenters in the hallways later to ask them more questions because I was really interested in it. So I, you know, took some information from the track and field world, which is probably the best place I'd say to get information, because those are athletes, you know, the track and field athletes, that is the fastest, the highest jumping, you know, the farthest jumping, the most powerful athletes in the throwers, and it's an absolute pure output sport. So there is very little, you know, if any, tactical considerations that are, you know, creating an input on the results. So you can very quickly tell, this is the person who's best at getting people fast, is the one who coaches the fastest people. Where in football, basketball, that kind of stuff, it can be a little bit more ambiguous because there's so much there's so many tactics involved. So I'd encourage you, you know, read track and field information, Bondarchuk, Yeses, the guys at Altus. Even if you, you know, if you're a powerlifter, you might be hearing this thinking like, oh, I should just listen to powerlifting coaches. No, do not do that. Take from everywhere. So I was taken from track and field coaches. I was taken from football strength coaches. Then as I got into powerlifting, of course, powerlifting coaches, you know, I was huge in Westside stuff. Every single article on there I'd read, I did all Westside type of training. For people like, oh, you didn't do Westside, brother, because you weren't training in Columbus. I've talked to Louie on the phone, all that stuff. Doing that from 20 till I was 24, you know, so into that side of things, talking to all the elite FTS guys, reading all that stuff. Then Josh Bryant, then get more introduced to you know, weightlifting coaches through Max, Sean Waxman, reading, you know, articles from European coaches, all that stuff. So there's valuable things to be had from all there. And then as well as the physical therapy world, you know, with Quinn Hennock and all of the clinical athlete types, that has been a huge benefit. So I would highly, highly encourage you, take Bruce Lee's advice, you know, take in everything, accept what's useful, reject what you don't need. And that's going to help you grow so much as a coach. Don't close yourself off to thinking like that sport doesn't have something to offer me, or that group of coaches doesn't have something to offer me. That's what I've been reading. So I suggest, you know, if you're a businessman, good to great. This End of Marketing one is pretty good. The Bruce Lee A Life was good. Right before that, I read Legacy, which was a leadership book based around the concepts of the All Blacks, the New Zealand rugby team. That one was pretty good. I think I've got kind of a fun listen again, I say reading, but reading with my ears. These are all audiobooks. Listen to one called Once Upon a Time in Compton, which is like a sort of memoir, autobiography type of deal about two Compton police detectives, gang unit detectives who worked in Compton, I think, from 82 to 2000. So, you know, crack, NWA, riots, all that shit. It was wild. So that's an interesting listen if you're into that type of stuff. Yeah, but, you know, otherwise just hold up at home like everybody else, excited, interested for when this stuff is going to, you know, pass, and hopefully we're coming out of this okay on the other side. So hope that everyone is well out there. Whenever I do these, it's very hard to drink the beer while I'm talking. If I had a guest to talk to, then it could be a little bit more back and forth, but I barely got to drink any of my beer. So thanks for tuning in. You know, go back, check out the Juggernaut YouTube past Jug Life podcast episodes, the YouTube 250K book. So what we did with that, you can get it through the link in my profile. Because we have just such an overwhelming amount of content, and I'm always surprised, like when I do seminars and things like that, and I ask, well, who's watched this video, who's watched that video, and it's maybe like a third or half of the people even that are coming to our seminars that have watched it, because I think it's just hard to get through it all. So to combat that, to make it easier for you, when we hit 250,000 subscribers a couple months ago, put together a curated all of our best content by topic right into, you know, this ebook. So you can look in the table of contents and be like, yes, squat technique. Take me there. It'll show you all of the videos covering squat technique. All right, snatch technique, mobility, nutrition, building muscle, all these different things. You can just click right in the table of contents. It'll take you. You can take a really deep dive. I know you got extra time on your hands right now, so I would highly encourage you to that. If you have access to a gym, the 2.0 version of the JTS AI powerlifting, so much better than the first one in every regard. The programs it designs, its user experience, the way it looks, all that stuff. Check it out, jtsstrength.com. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers. Have a great day. Thank you.